A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hello, Herman and Cohen. I'm looking here at a TV on the wall. It's about a 55-inch television. It's the landlord's TV. Looks to me like a pretty decently sized television. But, you know, to some people who are really into their TVs and TV jealousy sets in, where you're always looking for, you know, they're always releasing bigger televisions, promising higher resolutions. And I wonder, we've talked in networking episodes often about the concept of latency. There is perceptible differences in latency, and then there is subhuman perceptible differences. And often, sometimes people get hung up on differences in latency that actually have no chance of being perceived, which is kind of silly when you think about it. I often wondered that same thing about display resolutions. It's been a while since I was working on YouTube videos, but when I was picking up a camcorder, I bought, and this is, we're talking a camcorder like those really like classic video camcorders. I have the Canon XA40, fantastic device, and it does 4K, but in practice, I barely shoot 4K. I almost always do 1080p. The practical reason was that we used to live in a place with a really slow internet connection. So uploading to YouTube was this big effort, and 4K would often also give me trouble in my video editor. I'm not sure those things are true anymore. We have good fiber internet now, but I tend towards minimalism in resolutions because I guess I feel unless it's really going to be dramatically better in 4K and people will see the difference, what's the point of just shooting more pixels for no good reason? It's lighter to edit, lighter to back up, quicker to upload, easier to edit if you're shooting in full HD. And I think that this question depends really upon, I guess, what your viewers are going to be watching it on, because if you expect that you're shooting stuff on YouTube, that's going to be mostly watched on smartphones or tablets, even 1080p is arguably way higher resolution than you actually need. But that's, I think, a decent modern baseline. What I'm curious about is, you know, it's been a while since I was looking for a camera. I'm very happy with what I have. But I passed a consumer TV shop on the street the other day, and I'm pretty sure I saw them advertising like 8K or 12K resolutions on TVs and cameras. And I was like, how is that? Who actually needs that? So my question, Herman and Corin, is I've read that there is some kind of theoretical cap above which humans are unable to determine, you know, you can shoot as many pixels as you want, but it'll just look the same to you, at least digitally. Where does that cap actually lie? And it's going to, there's also the cap on the screen size. So if we take the example I provided of a 55 inch television in a family home, what's the, how different would a 1080p versus 4K thing actually look on this screen? And finally, Herman and Corin, if we talk about the stuff that's shown on the biggest screens, things that are displayed on at cinemas, I often wonder what resolution movies are actually shot in, because they're projected on an entire wall where you're going to have a lot of pixels, clearly. So what are the shooting resolutions there? I read once that you have resolutions sometimes of like 12K or even 16K. What's the like natural cap for how many pixels you could actually capture, or the maximum that can be captured? And if you're capturing at a resolution that significantly exceeds the ability of a human to actually notice any perceptible difference in quality, then what's the point? Lots of questions about pixels and resolutions today. Over to you two.
Daniel sent us this one about resolution, and I have to say, it's the kind of question that sits right at the intersection of physics, biology, and marketing nonsense. He's looking at a 55-inch landlord-provided TV, wondering whether the resolution wars actually matter past a certain point, where the human eye just taps out and says, I'm done, no more pixels please. He's also curious about what movies are actually shot in when they're destined for cinema screens the size of a wall. And underpinning all of it is this very practical question. If you can't perceive the difference, what exactly are you paying for?
Oh, this is a fantastic question, and it gets at something that drives me up the wall about how consumer electronics are marketed.
Vibes-based resolution, the worst kind.
The worst kind. So let's start with the eye itself. Normal human visual acuity, 20/20 vision, means you can resolve about one arc minute of angular detail, 1/60th of a degree. That's the number everything else hangs on.
An arc minute is, give me the physical version.
A person with 20/20 vision can resolve about one arc minute of angular separation. That's 1/60th of a degree.
I'm going to pretend I can visualize that.
Think of it this way. If you're sitting 10 feet from a 55-inch TV, which is a pretty typical living room setup, the pixels on a 1080p screen are already at or near the threshold of what your eye can distinguish.
Which means all those resolution numbers, 4K, 8K, 12K, they're not absolute. They only mean something relative to how big this screen is and how far away you're sitting.
And this is where most coverage gets it wrong. They talk about 8K like it's inherently better than 4K, which is like saying a gallon of milk is inherently better than a quart. It depends entirely on how many people are drinking.
Walk me through the 55-inch case. Daniel's landlord's TV. Typical living room. Couch maybe 8 to 10 feet back. 1080p versus 4K. Can you actually see it?
For a 55-inch 1080p screen, you hit that threshold at about 7 feet. For 4K on the same screen size, you need to be sitting closer than about 4.5 feet to see any difference at all. At 10 feet from a 55-inch screen, a person with 20/20 vision needs pixels no smaller than about 1.6 millimeters to avoid seeing individual pixels. And this is where the marketing gets genuinely deceptive. Stores display these massive 8K TVs and they look incredible, because you're standing 3 feet away under brutal fluorescent lighting.
At 10 feet, 1080p is already beyond what your eye can resolve.
It's not just beyond. It's more than double the resolution your eye needs at that distance. To actually see the difference between 1080p and 4K on a 55-inch screen, you'd need to be sitting about 5 feet away.
5 feet from a 55-inch TV? That's not a living room, that's a hostage situation.
It's a desk setup. If you're using a 55-inch display as a computer monitor and you're sitting 2 or 3 feet from it, then yes, 4K matters. You'll see the difference. For practical home viewing, it's a specification that exists to be a specification. It's the numerical equivalent of a spoiler on a sedan that never goes above 40 miles an hour.
The entire 4K revolution for living room TVs was...
a few things. One, it was genuinely useful for very large screens. If you've got a 75 or 85-inch TV and you're sitting 8 feet away, 4K actually does become visible. If you're shooting footage that will be cropped, stabilized, or reframed in post-production, having those extra pixels gives you enormous flexibility. You can shoot wide and then punch into a completely different composition without losing quality.
Okay, so big screens, real benefit.
2. The content pipeline. Even if you can't resolve every pixel, 4K content often comes with better color depth, higher bit rates, HDR, things you absolutely can see. Daniel's instinct to keep shooting in 1080p is, frankly, well-founded. The vast majority of YouTube content is consumed on phones.
The classic confound. They improved everything else and let the pixel count take the credit.
A 6-inch phone screen at arm's length? You cannot tell the difference between 720p and 1080p, let alone 1080p and 4K. The transition from standard definition to HD was real and visible. The transition from HD to 4K was much less so for most people, but the upgrade cycle had to continue.
Upgrade cycle is business model. The resolution treadmill.
This is something the streaming services understand intimately. Netflix's 4K streams top out at about 16 megabits per second. A proper Blu-ray 4K disc can run at up to 100 megabits per second. The resolution is the same on paper.
All right, let's get into 8K. Because Daniel mentioned walking past a shop and seeing 8K and even 12K advertised, at what point does this become pure theater?
Let's do the math again. For a 55-inch 8K TV to show any benefit over 4K, you need to be sitting less than 2 feet from the screen. They've been trained to chase the wrong number. It's easier to put EIGH KOI on a box in giant letters than to explain bitrate, compression efficiency, and color depth. The number goes up. It sounds better. The marketing writes itself.
Of course there are. like horsepower in cars that spend their lives in traffic.
Now, let me get to the cinema question, because this is where things get interesting and a little weird.
I'm ready for weird cinema resolutions.
Most people assume that movies projected on those enormous screens must be shot at some astronomically high resolution. The reality is more nuanced. The vast majority of Hollywood films are shot and finished at somewhere between 2K and 4K. YouTube supports it technically, but the bit rates are so compressed that an 8K stream often looks worse than a well-mastered 4K Blu-ray.
You're buying a display capability for content that doesn't exist, to see detail your eyes can't perceive, at a viewing distance nobody actually sits at.
4. K projection is becoming more common, but 2K is still the baseline for a huge number of theaters, and audiences don't notice because the viewing distance in a cinema is proportionally enormous. You're sitting 40, 50, 60 feet from the screen. Your angular resolution math works out the same way.
The physics doesn't care how big the screen is. It cares about the ratio between the screen size and how far away you are.
A 60-foot cinema screen viewed from 60 feet away takes up the same portion of your visual field as a 5-foot TV viewed from 5 feet away. The absolute size is irrelevant. It's the angle that matters. If the processor is busy pushing 33 million pixels for 8K instead of 8 million for 4K, it has less headroom for the things that actually matter. Motion interpolation, local dimming, color accuracy, upscaling quality.
The 8K TV might actually look worse than the 4K equivalent in real-world viewing.
Christopher Nolan shoots on IMAX film, which, when scanned, can resolve to something equivalent to about 12K to 16K in terms of detail. But that's film. It's an analog medium, and the resolution is a bit of a translation exercise.
The market providing.
The market giveth, and the market taketh away, mostly from your wallet.
Let's talk about capture side, because Daniel mentioned his Canon XA40. He shoots 1080p even though the camera does 4K. Is he being sensible, or is he leaving quality on the table?
It's the same principle as those old audiophile arguments about recording at higher sample rates than the human ear can hear. Capturing more information than you need can improve the quality of what you keep. With fiber internet and modern editing hardware, 4K editing is much more practical than it was even 3 or 4 years ago. But his core instinct is right. You should shoot for your delivery format and your audience's screens.
If your audience is watching on phones...
A key pulled from an 8K source is cleaner than one pulled from a 4K source, even if both end up in a 4K timeline. 1080p on a phone is already past the point of diminishing returns. 4K on a phone screen is pure comedy.
Phone manufacturers didn't get that memo.
A film scanned at 8K today can be remastered for whatever comes next. A film finished at 2K is stuck at 2K forever.
That's actually a compelling reason. But it also suggests that for the actual viewer right now, in their living room or in a theater, the resolution ceiling has functionally been reached.
For most practical purposes, yes. The human eye, at normal viewing distances with normal screen sizes, tops out somewhere between 4K and 8K, and 8K only if you have an impractically large screen or you're sitting impractically close.
For Daniel's use case, YouTube content, varied devices, 1080p is...
It's fine, but I'd make a case for shooting 4K anyway. Not because your viewers will see the resolution difference, but for two practical reasons. And the broadcast infrastructure isn't there either. Most television is still produced and distributed in 720p or 1080i. Cable and satellite compress everything to within an inch of its life.
That's actually useful. Digital zoom and the edit.
It's enormously useful. You can reframe a shot, punch in for emphasis, fix composition mistakes, all without the viewer ever knowing. 2. Future-proofing. YouTube will eventually make 4K the baseline, the way 1080p replaced 720p. That's before we even get into the question of whether higher resolution actually makes things look better in a subjective sense.
That's assuming YouTube doesn't compress 4K into visual soup anyway.
That's the catch. YouTube's compression is aggressive. A well-mastered 1080p video at a high bitrate can look better than a poorly compressed 4K video. The resolution number on the quality selector means nothing if the bitrate is starved.
The resolution label is almost a branding exercise at this point.
Film has grain. It has softness. It has texture. These are not flaws. They're part of the aesthetic language of cinema. When you scrub all of that away and present something with clinically perfect sharpness, it stops looking like a movie and starts looking like raw surveillance footage.
The uncanny valley of image quality.
And cinematographers know this. Many of them deliberately soften their images. They use vintage lenses, diffusion filters, post-processing, specifically to take the digital edge off.
This feels like the core of the whole thing. People are shopping for canvas size when they should be shopping for paint quality.
The industry likes it that way because canvas size is a number. You can put it on a box. You can make it bigger every year. Paint quality is complicated and subjective and hard to market.
All right, let's move to the big stuff. Daniel asked about cinema. What are movies actually shot in, and what's projected?
But the consumer who buys an 8K TV thinking they're going to see 8K sharpness in their living room is, in most cases, seeing something that's been mastered at 4K, or 2K, upscaled by the TV's processor, displayed on a screen too small for the viewing distance, showing content that was probably softened in post anyway. The Arri Alexa 65, which was used for The Revenant, Doctor Strange, a huge portion of major films, shoots at 6. The Alexa 35 shoots at 4. Red's top-end cameras do 8K. The Sony Venice does 6K.
4K to 8K range, mostly. Nobody's shooting narrative features in 12K?
4K provides a marginal, barely perceptible improvement if you have excellent vision and you're paying very close attention. 8K provides no perceptible improvement whatsoever. The cap, for that specific setup, is somewhere between 1080p and 4K.
If you're watching on a phone?
720p is functionally indistinguishable from anything higher for normal content at normal viewing distances.
In a movie theater?
That number is around 300 pixels per inch. Most modern phones are well past that. The resolution race in smartphones has been effectively over for years.
Which brings us back to Daniel's camera dilemma. He's shooting 1080p, wondering if he should bother with 4K. What's your verdict?
For YouTube content, viewed primarily on mobile devices, 1080p is perfectly adequate for the end viewer. The argument for shooting 4K isn't about the viewer, it's about production flexibility.
That's the term that ties it all together.
If Daniel's workflow doesn't need that flexibility, and 1080p is lighter on his editing system and faster to upload, then he's already made the right call. And human vision tops out at about 60 pixels per degree for someone with 20/20 vision.
What's the number? If 60 pixels per degree is the cap, what does that translate to in real terms?
A single hour of 4K footage from a camera like the XA40 can easily run 50 to 100 gigabytes depending on the codec. 1080p at a reasonable bitrate is a quarter of that. For someone who values minimalism and practical workflow, the choice is clear.
Daniel's instincts were correct. And we've now given him the math to feel smug about it.
The math supports the smugness. And I'll add one more thing. There's a phenomenon in video production where higher resolution can actually make your work look worse if you're not careful. When you shoot 4K, every slight misfocus, every bit of camera shake, every lens imperfection is captured in merciless detail. 1080p is more forgiving.
Right at the edge. Not night and day. Not you've got to see this. Possibly detectable if you're looking for it and you have excellent eyesight.
If the content is perfectly mastered. And if the compression isn't adding artifacts. And if the scene has fine detail to begin with. A close-up of someone's face in soft focus, 4K versus 1080p, is meaningless. It absolutely does. There's a reason cinematographers on big productions have dedicated focus pullers whose entire job is to keep the image sharp. When you're shooting yourself, you don't have that.
The real-world experience of 4K versus 1080p on a typical living room TV ranges from slightly sharper if you squint to completely indistinguishable.
For most people, most of the time, with most content, indistinguishable. The industry doesn't want you to know this.
And for YouTube, 1080p is more than enough. Is there any context where ultra-high resolution actually matters for the viewer?
That's the one consumer application where resolution still has a long way to go.
Let's talk about where resolution actually does matter, because I don't want to come across as saying resolution never matters. There are genuine use cases.
Current high-end VR headsets are pushing 4K per eye, and it's still not enough for truly lifelike clarity. The angular resolution math works differently when the screen is that close and fills that much of your visual field. Even the best headsets today are around 20 to 30 pixels per degree, We need to get to 60+ before VR looks truly real.
VR is actually resolution-starved, unlike living room TVs.
Everything since has been diminishing returns dressed up as innovation. IMAX uses dual 4K laser projectors and is moving toward even higher resolutions because their screens are enormous and the front rows are close. The industry desperately doesn't want you to feel that way. They want you to feel like your 2-year-old TV is obsolete, but the physics doesn't care about their quarterly earnings.
I want to circle back to the cinema question for a moment, because Daniel specifically asked what movies are actually shot in. You mentioned 2K to 4K as the standard, but what about the big ones?
If the display occupies more than about 40 degrees of your field of view, you start needing higher resolutions. For a 60-inch TV to fill 40 degrees, you'd need to sit about 6 feet away. Let me give you some concrete examples. Most films shot on ARI Alexa cameras, which is a huge portion of Hollywood output, are captured at around 3.2K or 3.4K, and then upscaled to 4K for the final master.
The resolution wars are really a consequence of screen sizes getting bigger without viewing distances changing.
Which tells you something about how much resolution actually matters relative to dynamic range, color science, and lens quality.
The sensor resolution is not the bottleneck.
It hasn't been the bottleneck for a long time. When you look at film shot on the RED Monstro or the Sony Venice, cameras that can do 6K or 8K natively, they're usually finishing at 4K.
There's something almost beautiful about that. Thousands of dollars of display technology, neutralized by interior design choices.
It's the home theater equivalent of buying a sports car to sit in traffic.
Let's get back to Daniel's specific question about the cap. Is there a hard ceiling where capture resolution stops mattering even for the biggest screens?
Estimates vary, but the consensus is that it resolves to somewhere between 12K and 18K in digital terms. But here's the thing, almost no theater can project that. IMAX film projection is becoming rarer. Most IMAX venues now use digital projection, which tops out at 4K, or in some cases, a dual laser system that effectively gives you something approaching 4K with better brightness and contrast.
At some point, the lens becomes the limiting factor.
This is the part nobody talks about. Most lenses cannot resolve 8K worth of detail onto a sensor. And they don't know it, and they don't care, because at the viewing distances involved, it doesn't matter. The immersion of IMAX comes from the field of view, the way the screen fills your peripheral vision, not from the pixel count.
That's almost poetic. The format that's synonymous with maximum image quality derives its power from geometry, not resolution.
It's a beautiful irony. And it reinforces the central point, resolution is just one variable in a complex equation. Contrast ratio, color accuracy, dynamic range, frame rate, compression quality, viewing distance, screen size, ambient light, all of these matter as much or more than raw pixel count.
We've got the eye's limits, the screen size and distance constraints, the bitrate bottleneck, and now the lens ceiling. Resolution is being strangled from every direction.
Yet the numbers keep going up. Because numbers are easy and everything else is hard.
What about the argument that higher capture resolution gives you better color? I've heard that. That oversampling the image, capturing at 8K and downsampling to 4K, improves color accuracy and reduces noise.
Good upscaling processing matters, because most content you watch will not be in the TV's native resolution. Refresh rate matters for motion handling, and screen size relative to viewing distance matters more than any of the above. A 65-inch 4K OLED at the right distance will look dramatically better than an 85-inch 8K LCD at the wrong distance.
The size of the number on the box is inversely proportional to how much it actually improves your experience.
That should be a law of consumer electronics. Call it Korn's Law.
I'll take it. Now, Daniel also asked about the theoretical maximum that can be captured. Is there a physical limit to camera sensor resolution?
There is, and it's governed by physics, specifically by diffraction. As you make photosites on a sensor smaller and smaller to pack in more pixels, you eventually hit a point where the wavelength of light itself becomes the limiting factor.
Let me ask you something about the psychology of this. Daniel mentioned TV jealousy. The feeling that your perfectly good TV is inadequate because there's a bigger, higher resolution one out there. There's a hard optical ceiling.
For a typical camera with an aperture around f8, the diffraction limit means that beyond about 50 to 60 megapixels on a full-frame sensor, you're not actually resolving more detail, you're just making bigger files. Medium format digital can push higher because the sensor is physically larger, so the photo sites can be larger for the same pixel count. But there's always a ceiling, and we're brushing up against it in a lot of formats.
What about the theoretical maximum for cinema? Like, if you had an unlimited budget and didn't care about practicality, how many K could you meaningfully capture?
There are experimental large format film scans that have been done at resolutions equivalent to 30K or more. But at that point, you're scanning the grain structure of the film, not extracting additional image detail.
The spec sheet is fantasy. You're not buying the experience. You're buying the idea of the experience.
The limiting factor becomes the glass, not the sensor. TVs in stores are set to vivid mode. Maximum brightness, maximum saturation, maximum sharpness. Because that's what catches your eye under fluorescent lights from 20 feet away. The storage technology and the bandwidth technology. The whole pipeline is bottlenecked at multiple points. Resolution is the easiest thing to increase and the least impactful thing to actually improve.
This conversation has made me feel simultaneously vindicated and slightly depressed.
Vindicated because the marketing is nonsense? None of that reflects how you'll actually watch the TV at home.
I feel like we should offer some kind of practical guidance at this point. If someone is buying a TV today, what should they actually care about?
The lukewarm reception to 8K TVs suggests that consumers are catching on, at least intuitively. When you look at an 8K TV next to a 4K TV in a store and can't see the difference despite the salesperson's enthusiastic pitch, something clicks.
The Emperor's new pixels.
And I'll say this, there's something refreshing about Daniel's approach. The deliberate minimalism. The recognition that good enough is, in fact, good enough. In a world that's constantly pushing for more, choosing the resolution that works for your actual use case rather than the maximum your credit card can reach is a kind of quiet wisdom.
It's the sloth approach to technology.
I was going to say it's the pragmatic approach, but yes, the sloth approach works too.
Slow, deliberate, and entirely satisfied with 1080p.
You've been vindicated by physics, Korn.
I'll enjoy it slowly.
Of course you will. The resolution is 4K, but the perceived quality is way beyond what a 4K number would suggest.
Cinema shoots at higher resolutions for production flexibility, not because audiences can perceive the difference from row 12.
Dolby Cinema's contrast ratio is something like 1,000,000 to 1. A standard theater projector might be 2,000 to 1. That difference is enormous and immediately visible. The resolution is identical. That's a solid summary. I'd add one final thought, which is that we're living through an interesting moment in display technology.
They walk out saying, "I could actually see what was happening in the dark scenes."
The next decade of TV innovation is going to be about everything except resolution.
Which is honestly more exciting than adding another K to the name.
Much more exciting. A TV with perfect blacks and eye-searing highlights in HDR is a transformative experience. Going from 4K to 8K is not. The industry is finally, reluctantly, starting to focus on the right things. That means you need about 3,600 pixels horizontally to saturate human vision.
4K is the ceiling.
And knowing the difference between those two things is the whole point of this conversation.
There's something liberating about a definitive, "You don't need this." We should do more episodes where we just tell people to stop buying things.
The anti-consumerism episode. I'm sure the sponsors would love that. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The resolution wars are over, and 4K won. I like that. It's tidy.
It's the truth. The industry just hasn't admitted it yet because they've got 8K panels to sell and 12K sensors to market. But the physics is the physics. The eye is the eye. And the eye says, we're done here.
Daniel can stop worrying about his landlord's TV. It's fine. It's probably more than fine.
It's almost certainly more than fine. And his instinct to shoot 1080p was correct for his circumstances, though I'd gently suggest trying 4K now that he has fiber, purely for the editing headroom. But not because he needs the resolution.
Pragmatic minimalism with a side of future-proofing. That feels like the right note to end on.
but as display technology shifts toward augmented reality and virtual reality, where screens sit inches from your eyes, that ceiling moves.
The name Tahiti is derived from the Polynesian word Tahiti, which likely originated from the Proto-Polynesian term Tafiti, meaning a distant place or a far-off land across the sea.
From a certain point of view,
if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps people find the show. We'll be back soon with more questions, more answers, and more reasons to stop upgrading your television. We'll be back soon with more questions and more answers. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Go count some pixels.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.